This week on Full Credit to the Boys, we preview State of Origin number one. The AFL takes China by storm, and we give you an Origin bedtime story. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit of the Boys. You can find us on Twitter at @FCTTB_podcast. You can find us on Instagram, @FCTTB_podcast, all one word. You can find me on Twitter @former_legend. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter @SidPunts. That's all one word. He's a man who this week dared the Australian Tax Office to audit him.
Come at me.
He's a man who proudly boasts he single-handedly shut down Cogra Sizzler Restaurant, and tonight he's wearing an inflatable life vest complete with whistle and flashing light. Welcome, Sid.
Thank you very much, former. It was a very sad day when Sizzler shut down. I take no credit or delight in the day that fine establishment closed its doors. Do you remember there used to be queues down the street to get into Sizzler?
I do.
My mate, massive tight ass, walked in one night when I was there on a date. Quality date it was.
Only the best for you, Mrs. Sid.
We were going to Cogra Mecca afterwards for cheap tickets to watch movies.
Tight ass Tuesdays.
And he just walked up to the table, said, "Hey, Sid," grabbed me plate, hit the salad bar, smashed four plates, 3 pieces of cheesy bread, put 2 bits of cheesy breads in his pocket, and then calmly walked out. Never paid for Sizzler in his life.
Mate, do you remember when Krispy Kreme first opened at Penrith? You did go out there?
I never went out there.
There was a line there from there to the Outback Steakhouse, which used to be the Lone Star. and I remember they walked up and they were handing out donuts while you're waiting in line. And you're like, I'll hang in after I've had one of them. And I remember, I reckon I got a mixed dozen and a plain dozen. It was 24 donuts. I've dead set knocked off about 20 of those. And it wasn't until 2 years later I found out that was the average calorie intake of a human being for a week. Yes, news.
Really worth it, right?
Oh, totally. The biggest news to come out of Idaho this week. Idaho Republican chairman arrested for stalking a strange wife. The former Idaho Republican Party chairman was arrested on Thursday for stalking his estranged wife, although Richard Puller's lawyer claims it was a grand misunderstanding. Well, miss something. Mate, I'll tell you what, how many times have I used that excuse, Sid? Grand misunderstanding.
All the time.
Hasn't worked yet, I've got to be honest.
Deny. Misunderstanding.
It's a misunderstanding. Just fern wooden windows. I shouldn't have them. It's a misunderstanding. Now, Richard Puller appeared at or near his wife's apartment complex in May and was seen repeatedly hiding in the bushes, Sid, masturbating and wearing a wig.
And wearing a wig.
Boise police said. His lawyer said the 39-year-old lobbyist was invited to a costume party on the property.
Yeah, seems right. Legit. Yeah, no, that seems fair.
Yeah, lots of costume parties on a Monday afternoon.
Next to my ex-wife's house. Just a coincidence.
Now, Puller initially claimed he was trying to scare a different female. Oh, that's all right.
Solid defence.
Yeah, like a jelly sandwich, this defence. The prosecutor during Puller's Friday arraignment noted that his wife was previously reported Puller for staring into her windows. Puller resigned as state Republic chairman in February, citing his family problems. His wife filed for divorce in March.
Why?
Why exactly? Why would you divorce this bloke?
He seems like nice.
Quite the catch, Sid.
Yeah, and on a politician's superannuation.
And has since been granted a restraining order. Now, looking at the photo of him, Sid, if you're looking him up, nothing screams sex pest like a high hairline and no chin, but
yeah, he's got a 5 head.
Yeah, yeah, quite the catch, ladies. And apparently available.
I love how his defense was, "No, I'm not trying to scare the woman that has an AVO out on me. I'm the victim here.
I'm looking for another AVO.
I'm a good bloke. This is all a misunderstanding. I was trying to scare another woman jerking off out the front of her house wearing a wig."
FCTTB.
Our next story comes from the Philippines.
The where?
Philippines.
Okay.
News.com.
Bordering on racist.
News, oh, don't worry, it gets worse. News.com.au reports Filipino President Rodrigo Duterte says he killed himself of being gay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte.
Bullshit. Alert.
Oh, don't worry. We won't squirt around this issue. We'll hit it straight on. Filipino President Rodrigo Duterte has claimed he was once gay but cured himself of homosexuality. He also said he was once a Queenslander but also cured himself of that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, according to Newsweek, Mr. Duterte made the bizarre comments on a trip to Japan where he mocked political opponent Senator Antonio Chulales by saying his movements show he is homosexual.
So he's slandering someone else.
Yeah, that's right. He said someone else had asked him about the senator's sexuality. I said, are you sure? He said, ask any gay man and see the way he moves. That says he's gay, Duterte said. Well, Trillanes and I are similar, but I got myself treated. He said that when he met his wife, or now ex-wife, Elizabeth Zimmern, he told himself, this is it. I become a man again.
Interesting.
He subsequently added, Duterte is gay. So I am gay. I don't care if I'm gay or not.
Do you reckon some of this got lost in translation?
Oh, Jesus. It's all over the shop, isn't it? However, he also kissed five women on stage sitting in Tokyo in front of his longtime partner, Honey Alette Avencia, further confusing matters.
Nothing says I'm not gay more than lining up five women at a press conference and just casually and spontaneously making out with them.
Well, what confused matters even more was in the end, he then fingered six blokes' assholes.
Mixed messages here, Duterte.
Duterte, who was a hardliner who ordered drug dealers to be killed, has flip-flopped on same-sex marriage. Before he was elected president in 2016, he promised to introduce gay marriage to the Catholic country, but later switched his position, preferring gay unions.
He seems to be a bit of a switch hitter, old mate Duterte.
Well, I'm going to throw it out there, Sid. I reckon Duterte's internet history might make for some interesting viewing. Same-sex marriage is good. He said everyone deserves to be happy.
Or at least equally unhappy.
Yeah. It comes after his controversial remarks in January about gay bishops. Only I can say it. Bishops are sons of bitches. Damn you, he said. It's true. Most of them are gay. They should come out in the open, cancel their celibacy, and allow them to have boyfriends. These bishops of yours, kill them. They are useless fools. All they do is criticise. Now, obviously, the best thing about this story, Sid, is I have a real conversation starter the next time Telstra call center rings me offering an extra 5 gigabyte per month for just $12.
You can talk about their president.
Possible fruitcake.
Yeah, look, he makes some good points about the bishops all having boyfriends. All the brothers at my school had boyfriends, about 3 from each of the year 7 classes, a couple from the year 8 classes. Then it tapered off once you reached year 9 for some reason. I'm not sure why. Full credit
to the boys. Final story this week comes from RT.com. And it's Indian woman plasters her car with bovine dung to cool it down, Sid.
Clever.
Yeah. An Indian woman has come up with quite unconventional tactics to keep her car and herself cool while driving in hot weather. Plastering her vehicle with cow manure, invoking a storm of online jokes.
They don't have window tinting over there or air conditioning?
Both fair questions, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, I thought so.
The game of car climate control was taken to a new level by female driver Sejal Shah. Someone shat on her car. Her Toyota car, coated with a mix of mud and cow excrement, was first spotted by a Facebook user who shared the cooling trick online, Sid. Temperatures throughout the state of Gujarat regularly rise to over 42 degrees Celsius, and keeping your engine cool is definitely a problem. The cow dung trick obviously caught the eye of the online crowd, resulting in a wave of puns. Now, obviously, jokes like, that car is truly a piece of shit.
Yep.
Wow, the new Toyota Camry Slumdog Millionaire Edition looks good, and if you can somehow combine a glass coffee table, I'm tipping the car covered in shit would be a big hit in Germany. They were all used, those jokes, Sid.
Oh, yeah, good jokes.
When contacted by local media, the owner of the car explained that the heat was too unbearable for her to drive with the windows down. I think it would be even more unbearable now. The smell wafts through the windows. And the application of the bovine waste eradicated the issue.
Clever.
Moreover, the woman further upgraded her design, painting various ornaments on the vehicle.
Yeah, did you see this? She painted up the cow shit. Looked a treat.
Make it only not only look cool, but look cool. look cool, Sid. Interesting. Look cool. Fonzie's jacket was cool, Sid. Elvis Presley's 68 comeback. That was cool.
That was cool.
Wicked Weasel bikinis are cool.
Not sure what they are, but yeah.
Look them up.
Okay, will do.
Along with the Dancing Bear, there are a couple of real discoveries this year. But covering your shit car in shit and sticking your mum's vase on it, that's not cool, Sid.
No, it's not cool, man.
Now, cow dung is not something that one would waste in India, as the substance has a whole ton of uses in the rural parts of the country.
They praise cows over there.
That's right. I'll tell you what. Samantha Armitage should go over there. It's utilised as fertiliser and pesticide in the fields, as fuel in its dried form, and as also insulated coating in construction.
Mate, I think this is a genius idea, and what a great advertisement for Toyota. There's nothing like that new car smell former. And in this heat, this Toyota would smell enormous, I'd reckon. You'd really want to live next to, what was the name, Shave Your Armpit? And her shit-coated Toyota Starlet. Apparently, Shave Your Armpit was involved in a crash the other day. And although she protested her innocence, the local police said she must have been speeding because there were 40-metre skid marks coming from behind her car.
We've got an entry in the at FCTTB underscore podcast. Full credit to the boys. Golden Gower Award, Sid.
It's a very hot topic on Twitter, now, the Golden Gowers.
Quite simply going to read Sid a story.
Hit me.
Compare it to the great Wikipedia entry of Craig Gower and decide whether this rates on the scale of hashtag FCTTB Golden Gowers.
We've been sent a few entries this week that we'll probably cover off on in the next few weeks.
Well, here's one to go along with those. A driver pulled over 3 times in less than 3 hours for speeding and attempting to illegally overtake a truck, crashed his car in the Clare Valley after boasting to police he'd never been in a smash. A black Holden sedan was allegedly clocked by police travelling at 160 kilometres an hour on the Eyre Highway at Kunagawa on the Eyre Peninsula.
Not sure that's how you pronounce any of those words, but
feel
keep
like
going.
Having a crack? You want to have a crack?
Kunagawa.
Sorry?
Kunagawa.
Oh, bordering on racist, but all right. Its driver, a 42-year-old Western Australian man, was fined for speeding and issued with a 6-month instant loss of licence. However, because of the remoteness of the incident, he was permitted to drive for a further 48 hours before the licence disqualification would take effect. He took off, but he was spotted by a motorcycle patrol officer allegedly trying to overtake on a double barrier line on the Augusta Highway at Winawi just after 1 p.m. The man was again pulled over and issued with another fine, and this time the vehicle was also defected. Only 10 minutes later, at 1:20, the car was spotted yet again. It was nabbed for doing 127 in 110 zone on the Augusta Highway at Manbrae Creek.
Can I just say, for somewhere that's so remote, there's a lot of coppers sitting out there in the dark.
Is there a police academy out there?
What's going on? That's un-Australian.
The driver was slugged with another fine. Police say the man was asked why he didn't listen to the officers before, and he said, because they said he could have a crash, he said, he'd never been involved in a crash, and that's why he hadn't slowed down. His lucky streak was short-lived, however. The motorist lost control of his car and smashed into an embankment on the Horrocks Highway. Just tell you what else, there's a lot out there. Highways.
There's a lot of highways.
At Stanley Flat in the Clare Valley at 3:30 p.m. Fortunately, he was not injured, but his car was written off, Sid. Now,
yeah.
Sure, it's only about cars.
Yeah.
But it's a good story.
It's a story.
It's a story, all right. Out of 10 on the Gower scale, Golden Gower scale, what do you give it?
Well, like you say, it's only about cars. There's no drugs or nudity. And it's just a cop trap, which for that reason, I give it a 2.
The one thing it's got going for it is the bloke's clearly a slow learner, much like the Gower story. And for that alone,
3.
NRL round 12. It's half-baked round, Sid.
It certainly was half-baked.
Which days were you half-baked?
Well, I did a lot of baking.
Did you?
So I had nothing better to do, and then I got half-baked.
Thursday, the Panthers hung on to beat a fast-finishing Seagulls 15 points to 12 at Pornhub Stadium. Now, against a depleted Seagulls side, the Panthers, who were also playing without stars Nathan Cleary and Viliamu Kikau, kicked to a healthy lead, 9-0 at halftime and 15-0 in front with just 10 to go. However, quick tries from Fainu and Cust made it just a three-point game with a few minutes to play. Judas Cleary looked like he was doing it tough in the coach's box. However, his Chargers did the right thing by their coach to steal their second win in a row, Sid, the first time the Panthers have been able to do that in 2019.
Yeah, the Sea Eagles have surprised a few teams this year, sitting in the top eight with six wins thus far. But after a major fade against the Titans last week, and with Jake Trbojevic out for New South Wales, DCE out for Queensland, and Croker, Sully, Turbo Tom, and my mate Hank Scorpio all out injured, the Eagles were up against it. And let's be honest, in what was a low game of football, the Panthers got the win.
Yeah, I'll tell you, talk about low.
This is in the top four lowest games this week.
And it was a Melbourne Cup field, I'll tell you. Now, according to Fugger of the Boys Backyard Stats Lab, Silver Blade Billy and his aging brother, Silver Pubes Percy, the man of the match game from rookie Liam Martin will give Judas Cleary a possible selection headache when Viliamu Kikau does return. Martin finished with 26 tackles, a try assist, 113 running metres, one line break and two tackle busts.
Yeah, he was enormous in this game, Liam Martin. He set up a great try to Edwards when he ran hard, broke through the Manly defence for their first try, and he scored his own late in the game, which was a bit lucky, but still, it's a try. This is two wins in a row for the Panthers, but how far have they fallen this year, former? I know they had a couple of players out too, but for a team that is supposed to be in their premiership window, a 15-12 victory against that Manly team is not a massive achievement.
No, the window's broken. Manly hooker Manase Fanu broke his nose in the warm-up to this one, Sid, after a head clash with Marty Tapau. But he put on some eye-catching strapping and played on. I couldn't breathe, he said. It was pretty tough out there, he told the ABC.
He look good?
It still hurts. It's still bleeding now. When I pull this tape off, it'll probably start dripping hard, but I just wanted to play.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I've said this on this podcast. The warm-ups for games these days is ridiculous.
30 minutes.
Running around for an hour. I may have embellished a little bit before kickoff. The last time I played a game, I think you were there. Yeah. You watched me play.
Classic.
I had a long neck and a couple of darts before kickoff. Now we see a player break his nose in the warm-up. This is outrageous.
Just a couple of star jumps, touch your toes a few times.
Try and touch your toes.
Bit of face slapping. Friday. The Eels were too strong for a weakened Rabbitohs side, winning 26 points to 14 at Wankbest Stadium.
What a classic game this was too.
The Rabbitohs were missing eight players through state of origin duty or injury, including Damien Cook, Cody Walker, and Cameron Murray, as well as newly signed James Robert. And it showed as the Eels held a 20 points to 2 lead after 55 minutes. A four-pointer to Josh Hoffman and a late Tavita Tatola try gave the Rabbitohs a glimmer of hope at 24 points to 14, but that was as close as they got.
Yeah, this snaps a three-game losing streak for the Panthers. And after hammering the West Tigers and now beating the number one team in the Bunnies, the Eels looked like they could go all the way in 2019. And then we laughed and laughed.
Well, according to Fulker of the Boys Backyard Stats Lab, Fast Hands Luke and his pervy brother, All Hands Harry, it was hardly a surprise that noted flat track bully Mitch Moses played well in this one. On top of five goals, he finished with 19 tackles, three try assists, 83 running metres, a line break, and five tackle busts.
He was pretty shaky early, old Mitch Moses. A few end-of-set options were poor for him and Parramatta, but he soon settled in, and he put in a nice short kick for Gutherson to score. He then carved up the Bunnies' defence to lay on a try to Dick Fingers after a desperate pass from Moses sat up nicely for Ferguson, and they were just too good for a Bunnies outfit, missing a heap of players through injury and origin duties, and two rookies, Connor Tracy and Billy Britton. Cool name.
I love
He's
Billy
my
Britton.
New favourite. Making their debut for the Rabbits this week.
Billy Britton's got bad teeth, I've heard.
You'd imagine he would.
It was the
He'll
first,
fit in well at Souths.
It was the first win for the Eels in a month, but Gus Gould threw some shade on the Eels after the game. I haven't really rated them all season, he said. They have to do that over 80 minutes week in, week out with the best sides in the competition. I don't think they are a finals team right now. I could be proven wrong, but I don't think they'll make this year's final series.
I agree. They are flat track bullies.
Led by their number seven. Saturday, and the Bulldogs hung tough but couldn't find the killer punch going down to the Raiders at Shotgun Stadium, 12 points to 10.
Amazing match, this one.
Oh, she's all low. Much like Thursday night's contest, the Raiders seem to have this game completely in their control, leading 10-0 for a long time before a Trevor Cogger try in the 60th minute, followed up by a Juan Pablo Montoya four-pointer 5 minutes later, tied the scores up at 10 points apiece. But it was the Raiders captain and the man they don't call the Frog, Jared Croker, who clinched the game for the Green Machine. First, the centre stripped the ball off Remus Smith as the Dogs attempted to work the ball off their own line, and then Adam Elliott attempted to steal the ball back the next set. He was penalised, and Croker accepted a gift 2 points to give his side what proved to be a winning lead in front of 65,000 empty seats.
Yeah, well, it was dresses and empty seat night at Shotgun Stadium on Saturday, another great initiative by Todd Greenberg to get the fans out there, where everyone that went to this game was treated to another special performance. People will be talking about this game throughout the ages, former. Where were you the night the Corey Horsberg gave away that strip penalty, they'll say. But a win is a win, and the Green Machine just keep marching on.
Well, it's been a big fortnight for the man they don't call the master, John Bateman. After undergoing surgery, Bateman was given a fortnight off to return home to England and only got back to Australia on Tuesday. Now, fresh from the Qantas lounge, Master Bateman punched out an 80-minute effort and scored a crucial first-half try, where he towed the ball through twice and then beat teammate Bailey Simonson to score by centimetres.
Yeah, that was a great try with an offload from Udson Young. That's Udson with a H, who offloaded to Havili, which also has a H, who broke through. Then it was soccer skills all the way to the try line for a great Canberra try. How good was Nickel Clockface? He was enormous in this game. He was everywhere in defence and
face.
Attack.
It was a strong effort from the Raiders, who played without Origin stars, were missing key players through injury, and were battling the curse of the hashtag make Canberra shit again.
Yeah.
They now sit fifth on the ladder and are only outside the top four on percentages. Meanwhile, for the Dogs, it looks like it's going to be a tough period coming up for Supercoach Pay and his men, who now face the Dragons, Roosters, Sharks and Knights over the next 5 weeks. The dream of being minor premiers in 2019 is now looking a little shaky.
It is looking a little shaky for the Dogs being minor premiers. There's also a bit of talk out of the Doggies that Dean Pay has lost the dressing room. Players are reportedly unhappy with game preparations and tactics. Corey Wahira Naira was dropped this week, and he has been spoken about as one of their best. They're just a bunch of young blokes. That coincides this week, this talk of unrest with Pay wielding the axe, and all is not settled over there at the Doggies.
I'll give them one thing. Their efforts, there's nothing wrong with their effort in the games.
That's true.
But they're not real good.
It's a poor roster.
Yeah, it's a poor roster. Don't worry about that.
But for Dean Pay to come in and sack four players this week.
Well, they've just signed him.
They don't have much to choose from.
Was it for another year they extended his contract?
Yep.
I've heard, this is very sketchy, I've heard that position was offered to another coach about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Who once again looked at their books, much like Madge McGuire did, and went, nah.
So what's their plan? Why would they rush out to...
Well, no one else wants it, and I think they just want stability now to...
Well, it's working well.
Yeah, no, it's going
They're going well.
Speaking of going well, on Sunday, the game of the century, the Titans were more shit than the Cowboys, going down 6-4 at Bang Bus Super Stadium. The Cowboys went into this game without State of Origin players Michael Morden and Josh Maguire, as well as injured stars Justin O'Neill and Matt Scott. And it got worse as they played the second half with just two fit players on the reserves bench, with Gideon Gilamosby with a shoulder and Corey Jensen with concussion succumbing to injury. It was a tight first half with the home team going in 4-0 up, but for the fans hoping for the game to open up in the second half, they were rudely disappointed as just one try was scored in the next 40 minutes, this time to the Cowboys to clinch a 2-point victory. A last gasp tackle in the corner by Kyle Felt in the final minute stopped a certain Titans try as Brian Kelly dived for the left corner of the as the full-time siren sounded, only to be denied. It was the right outcome, Sid, as the Titans were worse than awful to lose their eighth game of the year.
Yeah, this was another fantastic game dished up this week. We've really got to do something about this Origin period. What a spectacle this was. Two great teams throwing everything at each other. First, the Titans scored a try. Then the Cowboys scored a try. What a great game of football it was.
A real tennis match. The loss is a killer for the Gold Coast, who actually missed a penalty goal through, penalty goals.
Two.
Through Ash Taylor and Tyrone Roberts to level the game at 6 points all. And in fact, the Titans never bothered to score from the 22nd minute of this game. That included an entire second half against a 15-man opposition.
Unbelievable.
There are a number of ordinary performers for the Titans, headed by the million-dollar man, Ash Taylor, who had zero line breaks.
Good stat.
Zero line break assists.
Good work.
Zero try assists.
He's doing well.
Zero line engaged runs.
He's consistent.
And zero tackle breaks.
Wow.
What he did have was four missed tackles and a handling error, as well as a miss it goal to tie the game up.
Yeah, he's in all sorts, Ash Taylor. I shouldn't be laughing. This time last year, they were talking about him playing Origin. This year, it appears his confidence is dead set shot. He missed a kick for goal. Then he handed the ball to Tyrone Roberts because the pressure was too much when they were trying to tie it up at the end. His coach, Garth Brooks, however, backed him up in the presser.
It was one of the weirdest displays in a press conference I've seen for a while.
Wasn't it? When asked why Ash Taylor didn't take the last kick, he said, "Go ask Ash Taylor." And when pressed further, he's like, "You'll have to ask him. It's up to him. Why didn't he take it? I don't know."
Like you said, Ash Taylor was being talked about for Origin this time last year.
And he's on big money. He's right chewing up a lot of their salary cap.
Origin last year, right now, wouldn't be peeling the oranges.
No.
According to Fugger at the Boys Backyard Stats Lab, hard-hitting Harry and his brother with the upset stomach, soft-shitting Simon, the difference between the two sides was obvious as a dog's dick on a canary. The man they don't call the Eggman, Jason Tamalolo, in this game he finished with 28 tackles, 197 running metres, a line break and 7 tackle busts.
Did they give him that try in the end?
No. Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
He's still wrestling on the ground there.
Dead set.
All one movement.
That didn't look like a try to me. But the Eggman was the difference in this amazing game. We'll be talking about this for eons.
Jeez. Let's try and forget it now.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm Vivian Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
NRL news, and we start on the 20th of May, earlier this year. Souths coach Wanye Bennett said that the Broncos centre, James Roberts, would not be coming to Redfern, not now and not next year either. He was still in a tight contract at the Broncos.
Yep.
On the 29th of May, just 9 days later, it was confirmed that James Roberts had signed at Redfern, effective immediately.
Yeah, look, we can't pick on Wanye. He's old. A week is a long time in football. A week is a long time in the Bennett household. He's had three misses in that time. Can I say that?
Two plastic hips. I'm ready to coach again, says Trent Barrett, following an ugly Manly split last year. Trent Barrett is...
Hey. Manly would be like, well, hang on, you've still got a contract over here. You can still coach over here.
Trent Barrett is so determined to coach again, he has spent the past 3 months analysing video of NRL teams to ensure he's ready to hit the ground running if an opportunity arises. And at this point in the show, Sid,
yeah,
I'd like to announce that I am ready for a threesome with Scarlett Johansson and Magda Zabinski. Security at Bankwest...
Why Scarlett Johansson?
No, I'm a weirdo. Security at Bankwest Stadium has come under fire at the venue as it experienced its first ever pitch invader on Friday night. In the 50th minute of the game between Parramatta and South, a man ran onto the field and managed to make it to the middle of the field on the 30-metre line where the Eels were attacking.
Yeah, did you see what he did? He lined up in the defensive line, and he actually looked better than a lot of the Parramatta players. He was having a go.
Canberra Raiders forward, Hudson Young, is facing a monster 7-game ban for
that's Hudson with a H
for eye gouging Bulldogs trop Hayden without an H Tolman. Young copped a grade 3 dangerous contact charge from the NRL for the incident on Saturday night as the Raiders beat the Bulldogs 12-10 at a very entertaining ANZ Stadium. He faces 5 matches out, even with an early guilty plea, and risks 7 games sideline if he fights the sanction.
Yeah, he's only a new player, but he's hitting the ground running.
Hold on.
Straight in there. Hold on to it with H.
It's state versus state. Mate versus mate. New South Wales defending their first title in 10 years.
Let's get it on.
Here comes the game.
they both landed.
State of Origin, game number one, Sid. It's
only exciting.
24 or so hours away right now when we start a couple of big stories to come out of the Origin camps, one from Queensland, one from the Blues. The first one, Queensland Rugby League Chairman Bruce Hatcher has revealed the board were unaware that coach Kevin Walters had hired the coach whisperer, mentalist Bradley Charles Stubbs.
Good-looking fella.
Calling his exorbitant $5,500 an hour consultation fee fucking crazy. Now, Stubbs has been hired by Walters to help give the Maroons a winning edge, banning the words Blues and New South Wales from camp, as well as all talk of their Origin opposition.
I could have done that for $1,000 an hour.
I would have done it for $7,500. Media were told on Tuesday were not to ask Maroons players about their New South Wales rivals. Bruce Hatcher, the Rugby League Chairman of Queensland, said, "Fancy charging $5,000 an hour for advice that may or may not work. I wouldn't know surgeons who charge that, and they save lives." Hatcher said he and the board completely support Walters, but are concerned about the overspending.
Well, they don't completely support him, obviously.
Walters has stuck strong to that mentality, but did almost slip up during an interview with Channel 9's 100% Footy on Monday night. When he was asked what he thought of the Blues side, he said, "To be honest, I'm here to talk about the Queensland team. This is a great Queensland team, and we've selected, and all my focus and energy in the next 10 days will be purely on the Maroons. My dad told me 20 to 30 years ago about New South the people south of the border, they always have good teams. They always pick good teams. We know where they're at."
Well, they interviewed
south of the border.
They interviewed Cherry Evans last night on NRL 360, and he dropped the Blues name.
And he's like, a fine.
Yeah, he's like, "Yeah, I've dropped that name a few times today. It's a $20 fine. I don't care. I'm going to pay it."
And he's got millions.
Yeah, exactly. But quizzed on it, he actually said it's a good thing because all the focus has been on this.
This
and
is the
all
one thing
the focus
I fear.
Has been off the Queensland selections, the Queensland team.
The fact that their halfback hasn't played for 7 weeks.
Exactly. In reality, it's been a masterstroke.
Possibly.
They asked the Roosters coach Beasting about it because he has employed the same $5,500 an hour coach whisperer. And they said, "What do you get out of it? What does he tell you?" And he paused and he's like, "Well, I don't want to tell you because you haven't forked out $5,500 an hour." But he said, "Any coach worth their salt will try anything." And, you know, this time of year, state versus state, mate versus mate, Origin, any edge you can get is worth it. They've copped a lot of flack, but we'll see.
Yeah, like I said, if they win game one, we'll go, "Huh, this is a stroke of genius." If they lose game one, I guarantee one of the first things brought up will be the coach whisperer. New South Wales coach Brad Fitzman.
Whoa, that's a $20 fine.
Meantime, has denied any of his players' involvement in a new leaked sex tape on the eve of State of Origin 1. An explosive report in the Sydney Morning Herald claims the sex tape was leaked in an attempt to sabotage the Blues and allegedly involves a New South Wales player. Speaking as the Blues landed in Brisbane, Coach Fittler said, "We've been made aware of it and it's not him." Assistant coach Greg Alexander told the Daily Telegraph, "For starters, it's not even one of our players." Asked if it was an attempt to undermine the Blues' preparations, Alexander said, "The timing of it, please. Of course it is. The day we arrive in Brisbane, this happens. It's just a stitch-up."
Well, this happens every year. There's articles
what,
today.
Sex tapes?
Nah, just ducks and drakes and anything to get an edge. Today on Fox News, you can read articles saying, "This guy's built for Origin. This guy was born to play Origin. This and that." Buzz Rothfield will probably come out and say, "This is going to be the lowest Origin crowd ever."
No, and then he'll also say something about the referees. The referees will cost someone something. That's his usual.
Well, he actually said that on 360 last night. He said, "All I want are both teams to cop a fair penalty count." And when quizzed on that, Paul Kent and what's Eichen? His name? Eichen. Both said, "Well, hang on, it's not in the rules that the penalty count has to be even."
Oh, thank
He's like,
you.
Thank yeah. you. He's like, no, I just want them to get a fair go, you know. Up there, they always lose the penalty count. And when pushed further, Buzz Rothfield actually admitted, and it's a good watch, he said, "I actually looked up the stats in NRL for NRL players who give away penalties. And the New South Wales team, each of those players, give away a shitload more penalties across the NRL. So he defeated his own argument, which is unlike Buzz.
Oh, no.
He's rock solid.
He's straight down the line. Well, we'll just get straight into the tips here, but we'll do a few things. First try scorer, Sid.
First try scorer will be for New South Wales, and I'm backing Addo Carr.
No.
Yeah.
First try scorer will be Corey Oates. You know he's going to score a try, it's just when he'll score it. I'll say
yeah,
he'll
probably
score
his first try in game three, but anyway.
Man of the match for you?
Man of the match. Oh, that's a good question. I forgot to actually write this down. It will definitely be Nathan Cleary.
Jeez. Jake Trbojevic for me.
Yeah, no, that's a sensible...
Winner?
New South Wales will win.
I'm saying with my heart, not my head. I'm not sure.
No, I think they will. I think the problem...
You jump at shadows when this whole coach whisperer thing has got me sort of, oh, maybe it is just a masterstroke because we haven't spoken about their young blokes and blokes not playing. And
yeah,
playing out of position.
I can see what you're saying there, but I also think it's been a clever tactic to avoid the actual discussion we should be having around Queensland selections. New South Wales halfback, I make a joke about Nathan Cleary, but I've said before, he should not have been picked. He's not the form halfback for New South Wales. There's been injuries to Keary and Reynolds that saw them stick solid with him. But Queensland have chosen, like you say, Hunt at hooker, who is not the club hooker. He's a halfback. DCE is the captain and halfback, and he's just coming back from an injury, 7 weeks out of the game. They also have Munster, Morgan, and Mbai on the bench. To my reckoning, that's like 5 halfbacks that they've got. It's an interesting selection, even putting Mbai, who's been in good form, but I don't know where Mbai is going to fit in, where he's going to slot into the team. Through injuries or whatever, you could move Hunt out of the hooker role. It just seems like they've picked 5 or 6 halfbacks in their team. So this coach whispering business that you're scared of, I think actually works in our favour. They're throwing off so that people don't realise that they're going in with a weaker team, Queensland, in my opinion.
No doubt about that. I mean, they've had the strongest State of Origin lineup for the last 10 years, maybe ever in history.
Well, it was always going to be weaker, but I actually think this is...
weaker side than what they could have named.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, look, I don't know. Like I said, I jump at shadows this time of the year with this sort of thing.
The first game's up in Queensland. The second game's over in WA, so it's stacked against us. But I think what you said earlier off air, Nathan Cleary is on a hiding to nothing. If they lose the first game.
New South Wales lose.
He'll be the new next Mitchell Pearce.
Yeah, he'll cop the Mitchell Pearce treatment. He'll be the biggest escape goat going round. With that in mind, like I said, I'm going to tip New South Wales. What do you tip the score to be?
I think we'll win by 12 up there.
Really?
Yeah. I think 24-12.
I've got 16-12.
Yeah. I just think we've got too much strike out wide.
I hope you're right. Nick Kotrick, I hope he's not the two-bob layer I've made him up to be for the last 2 years. Yeah.
See, what works in our favour, having... it kind of undoes exactly what I just said, but having Cleary there, being in a winning culture last year, even though he doesn't have full credit to the boys' very own James Maloney next to him, which I think helped him. I don't think he had a spectacularly good game, good series last year. In attack, he was great in defence.
Very good in defence, yes.
But he had his 5/8 partner outside him. I think he was very lucky to get chosen. But this crew that Brad Fittler's brought through last year and into this year, they know how to win now. They're not scared of Queensland. I think they're going to dominate this year.
Mate, I hope you're right. The only thing I'll say too is about that halfback situation. I think there's a lot to be said for naming Adam Reynolds at the 7. Then it gives you the 9-7-6 from Souths.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
And New South Wales historically have always gone well when they've had club halves together.
Well, Reynolds being injured is exactly the same as DCE being injured, but Queensland are rolling the dice on DCE. Whereas we've got the opportunity to name Cleary, even though he's not the form halfback. He was there last year, so I think we will perform in game one, and I think we will dominate this series.
Johnson, the step back for the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory.
Sports News. AFL and the Sydney Swans went down by 5 goals to the Geelong Supercats, while the GWS Caps Lock Giants absolutely obliterated the Gold Coast Seagulls by 80 points at home.
Yeah, well, this year the Swans are an absolute rabble. They were totally outplayed by a strong Supercats team, and the Caps Lock Giants season just keeps rolling on with another win.
Your team.
My team. Supported him from the start, whenever that was. This time in an absolute spectacle in front of a massive crowd of over 7,000 screaming fans. I call bullshit. There was about 700 people there. Performer, it's this time of year, our favourite AFL spectacle was played this week to huge fanfare.
Let me start. AFL, hashtag talk other games down. A mishap by organisers saw busloads of attendees taken to the wrong stadium for Sunday's AFL match in Shanghai, according to Brisbane champion Jonathan Brown. A crowd of 9,412, Sid.
Bullshit alert.
Say that again. 9,412.
Bullshit alert.
Was reported in attendance for Port Adelaide's win over St Kilda, down from 10,000 and 10,000 from the last 2 years. But on the couch on Fox, Brown claimed that a large portion of the crowd was taken to somewhere other than the Adelaide Arena at Zhang Wan Stadium. It was a sellout, but 10,000 people turned up to the wrong stadium because the buses they were carrying them and all the locals to the ground went to the wrong ground. 10,000 people went to the wrong ground. How many buses does 10,000 take 10,000 people?
I've got more to say about this.
And they didn't make the ground, Sid.
It was the third annual Clash in China, a great initiative by the AFL. Oh,
something that rugby league really have got to start counteracting.
Well, this is the thing. They're expanding the game in China, just like Johnny Rebo wanted to do with rugby league back in the 90s. And Johnny Rebo this week would be sitting at home throwing his fried rice across the room in disgust after witnessing an amazing spectacle, a 70-point flogging by Port Adelaide over St. KFC in front of 9,412, as you said.
Bullshit alert.
Now, if anyone has seen the footage, there were more like 2,000 people in the stands.
Bullshit alert.
Now, we've had Gillon McLachlan explain that at last year's game, remember this, a lot of people were outside the ground having a choy bow.
That's right.
And that's why the seats looked empty. Seems feasible. Well, this year, as you said, the AFL has said the spectators were taken to the wrong stadium, and that's why the seats looked empty on TV. This game was an Adelaide home game played at Wing Stadium, but the bus drivers were apparently ferrying passengers to the Wong Stadium.
AFL in the hashtag talk other games down. If you follow on Twitter, at Footy Industry AU's Twitter account, today he put out a tweet that said, 32,000 people watched Saturday's GWS v Gold Coast audience on Foxtel and is the lowest rating Foxtel live AFL game since the introduction of simulcasting.
Wow.
Including pre-season matches and the home and away season.
They're getting numbers lower than home and away?
Well, I wouldn't think that. Although, shout out to Lincoln Lewis.
Always welcome on the show, Link.
Yeah, so there you go. 32,000 people.
I think I said this last week, that guy that puts out these stats.
Yeah, Footy Industry AU on Twitter.
And it's just going down and down and down, and they've hit a new low this week.
Feel free to ask him about the streaming numbers too. He loves those questions.
Yeah, cool.
Rugby, hashtag talk other games down. The first Rugby X event featuring men and women has been confirmed for the 29th of October at London's iconic O2 Arena. The five-a-side format is described as fast and furious while retaining rugby's core principles.
What are their core principles nowadays?
Lots of kicking forward passes and not many tries. The five-a-side variant will be played on a smaller pitch without posts. Now, Sid, I've got to ask.
Yeah.
We've had 15-a-side. We've had 9-a-side.
Yeah.
We've had 7-a-side. And now we've got 5-a-side. Why not 3-a-side or what about 2-a-side?
Well, look, I agree.
Or why don't we just go catch and kiss?
Well, I think this is a great initiative from Raylene Castle at rugby. She's just getting us all ready for in about 2 years' time when absolutely no one plays rugby.
Maybe this is a reflection of their nursery at the moment. There's not many in it. Soccer in the hashtag talk other games down hashtag. former rugby league star and, well, former rugby league, former AFL, sorry, former rugby union and gridiron player and serial code hopper, Jared Hayne, is set for another sport switch with a 31-year-old to try his hand at soccer. The Sunday Telegraph reported Hayne has been registered to play soccer for a Central Coast club side. Now, Hayne has been living on the Central Coast and training with local rugby leagues club, Woi Woi. The move to soccer emulates Ben Barber's decision to play soccer in the Mackay Premier League. Mackay Premier League. All around the world, it's known as that. Hayne has reportedly been registered to play for East Gosford Division 8 men's open team.
Yeah, there's talk he may also get a start soon with the Long Bay Pirates.
Is that right? Cricket. The Aussies have made a strong start defeating traditional rivals, Afghanistan, in their first game of the Cricket World Cup in England. Now, bowling Afghans out for 200, the Australians belted the Afghan boys to win with 15 overs to play. Popular figure David Warner scored an unbeaten 89, while Aaron Finch also got amongst the runs.
Yeah, it was great to see old mate Davey Warner back in the action, a very popular sportsman in this country, well-liked by his teammates. Great to see him getting back out there and getting some runs. Hopefully, he can let his bat just do the talking in this tournament, and then we'll get to see him back on our screens this summer flogging the latest OLED TVs.
Tennis! In the hashtag talk other games down hashtag said Roger Federer's new Uniqlo brown shirts he's been wearing at the French Open have been likened to a UPS delivery driver by some sections of the media, with others calling him a stylish turd. Co-host of the Tennis Podcast, which is a one of the great listens.
Yeah, it constantly outrates us.
Catherine Whittaker was particularly put off by the 37-year-old's choice of attire. I know style is personal, but is there anyone out there who thinks pale brown is a good look? Now, Sid.
Yeah.
I'm so sick as a man to be always judged by our outfits.
No, I agree.
Why can't the media just enjoy Roger's tennis game instead of always judging his fashion attire?
I know.
Men aren't objects.
It feels like it sometimes.
We're human beings, you know. Yep. And the sooner the world stops judging men on their appearance, the sooner we can all evolve as a species.
I couldn't agree more, Former. I am forever trying to smash through that glass ceiling to no avail because of my outfit choices mainly. But apparently, Federer has teamed with Nike to study the most comfortable outfits to perform at the highest level. And the factory that Nike produces all these outfits is in India. And they decided that Pooh Brown was the best to keep the temperature down.
Well, that's right, to go with their cars. Basketball, hashtag talk other games down. NBA great Scottie Pippen is reportedly suing a 5-year-old girl for vandalizing his $10 million Florida mansion by scribbling on the walls with markers and crayons. Pippen, 53, added the girl's name to a lawsuit he filed against her parents, Lindsay Glazer and Jacob Wallachian, who he is asking for damages in excess of $100,000.
Is he hard of a quid, Pippen?
Nah, I think he's got plenty, to be honest.
You wouldn't think he'd be hard for a quid.
The Chicago Tribune reports that he claims the girl's vandalizing ways show Glazer and Wallachian failed as parents.
Mm-hmm.
He says the couple allowed pets to urinate inside, damaged furnishings, stole utensils, and missed utility and rent payments. The family rented Pippen's home after their home was damaged by Hurricane Irma. They agreed to pay $30,000 a month for the luxury pad, which boasts 6 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, and a private dock.
There is so much wrong with this story that an American couple with a young 5-year-old has their place demolished by a hurricane. Poor people.
Yeah, I know.
And then they struggle renting out Pippin's $30,000 a month mansion.
That's right.
And then they piss on the carpet and draw on the walls.
So he's
bizarre.
She's a comedian and he's something else. So I think they've got plenty.
Yeah.
But yeah, $30,000 a month. What do you get for one of your places?
A couple of my places are more than that, actually.
There you go. Spelling.
I'd sue a 5-year-old if they ruined it.
Spelling. Hashtag talk other games down.
We're covering spelling.
That's right.
Excellent.
The 92nd Scripps National Spelling Bee took place this week in Washington, D.C., and the result is nothing short of a disgrace.
Hit me. What is this about?
The Spelling Bee was finally over after it went 20 rounds, which included a run of 47 correct words.
Wow.
Thursday night's unprecedented decision was made after round 17 when it was announced that while there were plenty of words left in the dictionary, there were also enough challenging words for the final three rounds. So officials ended the competition with 8 co-champions.
They ran out of hard words?
That's right. We have plenty of words left in our list, but we will soon run out of words that would challenge you, the Bees official pronouncer, Dr. Jacques Bailey, said, calling those remaining the 17th round the most phenomenal assemblage of super spellers in the competition's history. The crowd agreed with a standing ovation, said.
Well, this is just typical of this generation. You win the spelling bee, and you win the spelling bee.
A prize for everyone.
You all win the spelling bee. Hey, just a quick question. Does spelling bee have one E or two?
3.
Okay.
Boxing. Andy Ruiz Jr. has pulled off one of the most remarkable upsets in the sporting history, stopping the previous undefeated Anthony Joshua in the 7th round of the heavyweight title showdown in Madison Square Garden. The referee waved off the now former WBA, Super, WBO, IBF and IBO champion Joshua when he was floored twice in the 7th round after earlier being dropped twice in the 3rd round. And salt was rubbed into the wounds after Joshua claimed he would break the curse with sporting stars suffering defeat after posing for photos with Drake. AJ's somewhat cocky post on Instagram captioned a photo with the rap star in the gym, said, "About to break the curse, hashtag June 1st. But it came back to bite him as Ruiz inflicted one of the greatest shocks in boxing history on the Brit.
This was fantastic. I watched this fight. I look fitter than Andy Ruiz Jr., but
I don't know about that.
Yeah, come on, man. Definitely. But he was amazing. He takes a punch like Homer Simpson.
Doesn't he?
He got flogged and just doesn't flinch.
When he went down in the third, it was like he's gone, well, it's now or never.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. He was knocked down in the 3rd round only to get up. He sat there on the canvas waiting till it got to about 7. And when under huge pressure, he delivered a left hook that sent Joshua to the canvas. And then again, just before the bell, he was gone for all money and he knocked him down twice in the 3rd to get back in it. It was a fantastic fight.
Well, much like you said, Ruiz Jr. reminds you of himself. Anthony Joshua's rig reminds me of me.
Oh, yeah, very similar.
Obviously, he's a little bit darker, but other than that,
yeah,
the similarities are remarkable.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the similarities are.
Boxing. WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder has announced a highly anticipated rematch with Britain's Tyson Fury.
Love Tyson Fury.
Mate, we spent about the last, half hour watching videos of Tyson Fury. For anyone that hasn't seen it before, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder fought one of the great fights I've ever seen. Now, if you're not into boxing, I get it. But their match a couple of months ago was unbelievable. It was 12 rounds of chess. Deontay Wilder is one of the hardest-hitting, dangerous men in boxing, whereas Tyson Fury is one of the best boxers, per se, in the game.
And so again, Deontay Wilder,
their two styles are so different that the matchup is remarkable.
Yeah, and Deontay Wilder's physique is very much like yours, and I'm more Tyson Fury kind of guy.
You're a more Tyson Fury, Butterbean, John Daly kind of setup.
Yeah, Andy Ruiz.
Now, the American, Deontay Wilder, took to social media on Saturday, claiming a second installment of Wilder v. Fury would come after his September rematch of Luis Ortiz. Well, as I've always say, I'm the realest champion in the business, and as I've always mentioned, before I must handle all my controversial fights as soon as possible. Ortiz is first, then Tyson Fury, he said on Twitter, announcing a fight that fans have itched for since he and Fury battled to a bruising split decision draw in December in Los Angeles.
I'll look forward to that one.
FCTTTB sounds like too many T's to me. FCTTTB, yeah, that's definitely too many T's.
All right, Sid, without further ado, it's time for the greatest segment in podcasting in all of iTunes. It's time for this.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
It's time for Grab a Mirrors. Don't forget you can reply to my Grab a Mirror tweet on Tuesdays at around 7:30 with the hashtag Grab a Mirror or hashtag GAM, and then I'll put up a reminder around 3:30.
Tuesdays only.
Tuesdays only. best way to do it is to reply to that original tweet. Now, Sid, mine's going to be short and sweet, so I'll get it over with.
Are you going first?
That's right. Now mix it up. Grab a mirror at former underscore legend.
What have you done this week?
Well, this
week pissed you off.
I have shown what an absolute arsehat social media amateur I am.
It's about time you admitted to such.
Where I put out a tweet that basically said, tell me your favourite NRL player from the past 20 years. Don't use his name or team in
I saw
the
that
description.
Tweet. Clever.
Yeah. So 11 retweets, 72 likes, and 505 replies, Sid. Get on top of those emails every time you get a notification.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Having now, your phone beep all the time, vibrating in your pocket.
Obviously, there was a massive mistake in two ways. First of all, I didn't advertise any product in the original tweet.
Selfish.
Like maybe talk about a live show or some membership packs. Or
yeah, or could have just tagged Sid Punts.
Tagged Sid Punts in it.
Anything.
So just checking, that tweet has been seen by 41,691 people.
A shout out to prospective sponsors, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Could have had your name in there.
Yep, could have had my name in there.
But I'll just go through a few of the replies.
Were there some good ones?
Awesome. Like absolutely.
Throw enough darts, 500 odd darts.
Absolutely.
Got to hit the board once in a while.
Awesome.
Favorite players without...
Without their using their name,
yep,
or their team.
Yeah, nice.
One bloke wrote, it's better than Lego.
Yeah, nice.
Another one wrote, started the dynasty by picking up a loose pass, lost his hair, and then found it again.
Nice.
Another one wrote, captain of the Broncos, Queensland and Australia, won 3 grand finals at fullback and won at 5/8. Talks like he has gravel in his throat, had hair, then lost it again, but now found it again.
Yeah, did mention the Broncos, though. That's a fine.
That's true. No, I'm not going to say that one.
I'm sure there was a few of those.
What else have we got here?
Someone put a photo of a cocktail that was a Brandy Alexander. I thought that was clever.
Very good. Another one wrote, nose beers in a Uber.
Well, that narrows it down.
I don't know who that could possibly be. One bloke wrote, drinking urine. That was from Eden Richards.
Mm-hmm. Costly drink, that one.
A.H. Cayley wrote, thighs. That could be a few, but I'm tipping one bloke talks to them. Shifty wrote, before we had the poo jogger, we had the guy who pooed in his shoes.
Uh-huh. Shat in Schlossy shoe.
Yeah, which Mr. Ives also wrote, I shat in Schlossy shoe. another one for, so magnificent he can regrow his own hair. Daniel Eastwood wrote, his first name fought with the Argonauts and his surname could work with black or silver.
I have to think about that one.
I don't know. It was like a cryptic crossword, that one.
Yeah. I'm 9 beers deep.
Yeah.
I can't even say 9 beers deep.
Sparty wrote Indian dreaming or sometimes more chilly. I mean, you have to be more specific.
Yeah. Spell it out for us.
Another one just wrote nose, to which someone wrote Laurie. Hottest Greek to ever play NRL.
Steve Georgiales.
Could be.
Could be.
Kaylee wrote, bra boy. who else we got here? Terry's ass off wrote, loves the punt. Well, I mean, seriously.
Oh, really? That was a whole 84 Kangaroos tour.
Another one, Andy Pan wrote, left footstep is coming, but there's no way you can stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Who else we got here? Let's go through.
Let's go
Yobbo.
Through all 540
No, I'm not doing
odd.
That. Dr. Yobbo wrote, the unmade bed. Late Mailman wrote, oh no, sorry, Adam Rickson wrote, late mailman's man crush, son of Rocket Ready. and so it went. So if you want to go through that original tweet, it was only from a few days ago, but there was 505 replies there. Good luck. Just as much good luck to me as clearing out my inbox because it is basically burgeoning.
Yeah, much like my inbox every week.
from AVOs and bad debts.
Yeah.
Equal 10. At Dogstar underscore 01. Grab a mirror, whisperers. You lot started with horses, then went on to dogs, then babies, and now coaches. How about shutting the fuck up? Hashtag or maybe work on sex tapes. Equal
10.
At Big Mac Keeper. Grab a mirror, Chinese AFL crowd counting bloke. I didn't know the Roosters accounting department had a weekend away in Shanghai. Try learning to count or the meaning of the words sold out or bumper crowd. Or go to @former_legends counting school. Equal 10 for everyone. Hashtag what the fuck. Equal
10.
@PR0NMY.
All the good hashtags.
Tipping all the
good.
I'm tipping all
handles
the,
were taken.
All the Twitter handles are now gone. old Fran.
Welcome
L,
aboard, whoever Fran, you are.
Fran L242. grab a mirror, says the Knight Rider. Thai massages. Seems like the rules are getting tighter. Undies off means just one thing. Hashtag shouldn't have to ask. Hashtag don't embarrass both of us. Hashtag legitimate massages.
Let's move on.
Equal
10.
@Galpo78. Grab a mirror, my mate Bongo, who got on the @ancestry.com.au DNA kit for his birthday and told us how hard it was to scoop his jizz into the test tube when you're only meant to use saliva.
That's not how it works.
Hashtag dumbest smart bloke ever. Hashtag won't read instructions. Hashtag loves a Stephen Deck. Equal
10.
That was good.
@NeilDYD says, grab a mirror to three-year-olds who want to help and share tools. Absolute dead weight, no help at all. Hashtag, where's my 15 mil socket? Hashtag, better than an actual apprentice, though. Hashtag, not as good as the dog was.
Hope you're not paying them full wage.
Equal
10.
@AdamQuiet. Hashtag, grab a mirror, my real estate agent. Comes for a rental inspection today and complains that there's lots of leaves on the ground. I live in the mountains, surrounded by a million trees, and it's the end of autumn, start of winter, and it's blowing a fucking gale. I'd be stunned at no leaves.
Equal
10.
@MrBarjar says, grab a mirror, New South Wales. First, you're infecting this fine state with your shit footy team, and now you're inflicting your shitty weather on us as well. It's so cold, Big Mal's statue now only has 2.5 legs. Hashtag, no, sorry, PS, stop calling yourself new, too. You're well past the years by date.
I love Bargy, but do not be bagging New South Wales at this time of the year, my friend.
Equal
10.
@Mario.
Are we still at 10?
I think so.
I'm not so sure.
I got a little panicky there.
I think that was 9, but anyway.
Mario Sieg says, grab a mirror, snow. There's nothing magical about snow when it's minus fucking 4 degrees, wind chill of an extra minus infinity, and the stupid stuff melts before it hits the ground. Hashtag team summer.
This is true. This is the this is climate change, people. Climate changes several times a year.
9.
@DingoH says, grab a mirror, so-called media outlets referring to a tape without giving specific links or search terms to use. Hashtag went down a rabbit hole. Hashtag couldn't find it. Hashtag delete search history.
8.
@ParaEelsFacts. If you want to follow a funny web,
it is funny.
Twitter handle, follow that. Second rowers, grab a mirror, second rowers stopping the ball with their feet in scrums to get an offside penalty. Just get on with the game for fun.
Here, here. It's like a quick tap. Get rid of it.
That's a shit idea, that.
7.
@NetballCairo. Grab a mirror @Mary_K. For considering Bali as a destination, even after @former_legends stinging review of the joint last year.
How
not
many?
Just last year, this year as well.
Most,
what a tip.
Most weeks.
What a tip.
How yeah. much do we have to spell it out for you people?
What is it about swimming with dog carcasses that appeals to so many people?
6.
If you want to go somewhere where you've got to shower with your fucking shoes on, that is the place for you.
We're what not a, being subtle.
Don't white chicks look good with braids? You don't look like a cheap house, do you? Oh, get a Bintang singlet. Yeah, man. I didn't get a tat, are ya? Yeah, good one.
Just get a fake tat.
Get a Bali tat. Good for about, I don't know, 1,300 miles, I'd reckon.
And Hep C.
That's for free. At FCTTB Stats Lab, Shifty, says, grab a mirror, bus drivers in Shanghai for taking 10,000 AFL-loving yeah. Asian punters to the wrong stadium. To Telefi's game left with a sold-out stadium, lacking the sold-out feeling of beer lines, beer snakes, and violent brawls associated with all AFL games.
See, this is where their lie has actually worked in the psyche of people, because what they actually said was there was a couple of buses with 400 people went to the wrong stadium. Even with 400 more people, it still was not a sellout.
Maybe there's 400 on each bus. They just jam them in, Madras style.
You can tell when Gillon McLaughlin's lying. His lips are moving.
Five.
At Glass Joe says, grab a mirror, Andy Ruiz Jr., you magnificent overweight fat bastard.
Yes.
We all know former legend skips the odd leg day at the gym, but you've skipped body day. Keep it up. Us fat bastards all around the world now have a new sporting icon to aspire to. Hashtag love your work. Hashtag George Rose 2.0. Hashtag bring on the burritos.
I totally agree. And as I said earlier, I stayed up. I watched that fight. It was amazing. But it also made me realize all these people that I've called out over the years that I'm going to fight, I have a chance.
Well,
I have a chance.
Not only that, Sid, I've got to say,
yeah.
You look at the past history, Tyson Fury,
yeah,
hardly one of the fittest blokes you've ever met in your life.
No.
Bashes blokes to oblivion.
Absolutely.
Butterbean.
Butterbean is my spirit animal.
It's also your stripper name. Another bloke won a fair few heavyweight title fights.
Yep.
Now we've got Andy Ruiz Jr.
Yes.
Fat as a fool.
Uh-huh.
Bashing blokes into oblivion. I'm tipping John Daly could make a sport change.
I'd fight John Daly.
Not for, don't fight him for a donut, whatever you do.
I'd even walk into the ring, whereas he'd get a cart. I've got him covered, mate.
It's your go because we're up to three.
Oh, we are up to three. Okay, yeah. Let me just do this.
Four.
I'll go at number four. Grab a mirror, this bloke. 52-year-old professional uni student. He's an Indian fella from Queensland. His name is Balls Deep Man. He is suing the James Cook University for over $3 million.
What?
Because he says he lost his sex drive since the university failed him for plagiarism. Now, this was actually on Queensland local news, and I'll let Channel 9 up in Queensland take up the story.
A student is suing a Queensland university for losing his sex drive, seeking $3.125 million in compensation from James Cook University after failing two subjects as part of entry to a PhD course, being accused of plagiarising. The 52-year-old's taken the fight to the Supreme Court, 52. Claiming he suffered mental torture as well as loss of sex drive.
I'm no longer wanting to be on the bed, to share the bed with my partner. There is no such desire, no desire for anything.
The 7-Eleven worker is now waiting to see if his application for legal aid has been approved.
The former.
Mate, I'm not sure about those voices you're pulling. Okay.
That was not me. That was Channel 9 in Queensland. Now, the 7-Eleven worker, Balls Deep Man, is Balls Deep no more, former. Because in his own words...
Not even tip deep.
In his own words, this has been a stressful time and he is no longer is wanting to be on the bed to share bed with my partner. There is no desire. Now, James Cook University has strongly denied these claims, saying that Balls Deep should have been kicked out of his degree because he plagiarised his last assignment. In fact, James Cook University doubled down and claims that Balls Deep lost his desire for his wife because she covered his brand new Toyota in in horse shit, in cow shit.
What a shame he wasn't German with a coffee table.
Now, being the journalist that I am, I contacted Balls Deep's employer, 7-Eleven, and they got back to full credit to the boys, saying that they were standing by their employee and have said that even if he doesn't receive legal aid assistance, his duty manager wage of $3.29 an hour is dead set above award rates. Do not look over here. And he will fight this in the courts. They also told me that Tuesday is Bring Your Own Cup Slurpee Day. Slurpee's only $1, so that's good news.
And I believe Balls Deep's doing his standard 19-hour shift that day.
Yep, he'll be there.
Don't look over here.
So grab a mirror, Balls Deep, and also grab a giant cup. You definitely won't win that court case, but that is a great deal on Slurpees, we must all agree.
Three.
at Ryan T. Jansen. Hampson. Handsome Jansen.
Handsome Jansen.
Grab a mirror. Whatever dating website ad is on TV saying that there is love being found in an average of every 14 minutes. Fuck off. More like every 14 minutes, people are sharing dick boob pics and organising a route. Hashtag always down for a minge pic. Hashtag do you fuck on first dates. Hashtag does your dad own a brewery.
We got more to say about that at the live show. Buy a ticket to the live show.
Two.
Also, at the end of this show, we'll be revealing who our special guest is at the live show.
Yes. Very exciting.
Well.
Who we got?
At Todd Greasley.
The Greaser.
The Chip Man. Fat Boy. Slippery.
Danny Zuko.
Lightning. Says, grab a mirror. The cheeky two-headed Queenslander who looks vaguely similar to Latrell Mitchell. You deceived to wait 2 years to release a video of you getting your Morkel Schnorkel worked on, coincidentally the same week that Latrell is going to bend over Will Chambers. Hashtag up the blues.
That's all allegedly.
One.
Who got number one this week, former?
At the Picture Mungo.
Hey!
One of our, well, probably the greatest magazine in the world, Picture Magazine.
Yes.
A staple of any real man's weekly items that he buys from the servo. Hashtag grab a mirror home blokes. We get hardly any entries for this section of the magazine anymore. How are we supposed to put together our yearly compilation of oodles of doodles? Hashtag Tockley, hashtag Todger, hashtag Spam Javelin. To which I say, meet Ryan T. Jansen.
To which I say, challenge accepted. Picture Mungo.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your ways. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
All right, Sid, it's time for this. It's NRL round 13. It's soccer offload round. After news of Ben Barber and Jarrod Hayne heading to soccer, each NRL team will now be asked to nominate a miscreant for their club to donate to soccer to thank David Gallop for all his hard work.
Oh, and didn't he do such great things, David Gallop?
Well, it's another great initiative from Todd Greenberg.
It
and of
certainly
course,
is.
We're joined by Andrew Ferguson from Rugby League Project, rugbyleagueproject.org. He is, of course, the...
He's a stat man.
You can find him on Twitter at Andrew RLP. Welcome to the show, Andrew. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, mate. I was just going to say, I was thinking of changing the name of the site to Soccer League Project.
That would be a great initiative from you.
It's probably more money in soccer. That Patreon really kicking over.
That's right.
No salary cap in soccer. Well, mate, we start on Friday night. Where the Rabbitohs will take on the Knights at Shotgun Stadium in the Little Wayne Shield. Of course, this goes back to when Brownie said Little Wayne was ruling Big Wayne's
yes,
head.
I remember that well.
$1.50, the Rabbitohs. $2.55, the Knights. What do the stats say about this, Andrew?
Right, well, the Knights have lost all four games against South at Shotgun Stadium since club legend Milton Sidey retired in 2007.
Well, they can't win, obviously.
Who are you going for?
Yeah, I'm going South.
Yeah, I'm going South.
I'm going an upset. Go the Knights.
Why? What's your reasoning behind that?
I just think...
You are doing quite well in...
The Knights are on the boil at the moment, and I think they might be able to do it, so...
You're off your head. The Rabbitohs will win.
Mate, the Tigers take on the Raiders at Wankbest Stadium in the Gary Spears Shield. It's $1.90, take your pick. What do the stats say, Andrew?
The Tigers have lost all three of their home games against the Raiders ever since Mitch Moses made his debut. Their last win was in round 16, 2014, and the week after that, he played his first game for the club.
Well, he's to blame. Who are you taking in this one, mate?
I'm taking the Tigers here.
Yeah, I'm going the Tigers. I'm going the Tigers.
I'll take the Tigers as well.
We're none from one at our home ground out there at wank best.
The fortress.
Yeah. We don't have a good record out there, but we'll rectify that this week.
Saturday, and the Warriors will take on the Storm at not-so-smart stadium in the Henry Perineum Plate. $2.40, the Warriors. $1.57, the Storm. What do the stats say about this one, Andrew?
Yeah, Supercoach Stephen Kearney has won 36 of his 102 NRL games as coach. By comparison, Craig Bellamy won 64 in his first 102 games.
Wow.
Oh, nearly double.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, the coach doesn't win the game for the players, so you're tipping the Warriors, mate?
No, I think the Storm should probably do this one pretty comfortably.
Storm at $1.57 is money for Jam.
It is absolute money for Jam. I'm glad you said that, because they will do that very comfortably.
Yes.
The Sharks will take on the Eels at Sid's Rough Punts Park in the Brian Cox Cup. $1.50 the Sharkies, $2.55 the Eels. Interesting odds. What's the stats say, Andrew?
Yeah, the last time Mitch Moses played in a winning side against the Sharks, he went on to lose the next five games against them. And as we know, Moses had a win over the Sharks in round four earlier this year.
Well, they're gone.
Yep.
Are you tipping the Sharkies?
Yeah, I'm going the Sharks there, absolutely.
Well, I'm also going the Sharks. I've not seen the teams that are named. However, the Sharks will beat the Eels this week.
Yeah, I've got to go with the Sharkies as well. I don't see the Eels. Saying that, $2.55 seems a little bit overs given. Anyway, I'll go with the Sharks. Mitch Moses.
Got to go the Sharks.
Mitch Moses factor's got me. The Cowboys will take on the Seagulls at 1300 Cousins Stadium in the Owen Cunningham Cup. $1.65 the Cowboys, $2.25 the Seagulls. What do the stats say here, Andrew?
Yeah, look, the Cowboys have won 12 of their last 16 games played at home in June.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what...
They're good at home in June, I guess.
I want a conclusion to draw there, but with that in mind, does that affect your tipping in any way?
Yeah, I'm going Cowboys.
Yeah, look, I've liked the Eagles past few weeks and they've let me down.
Turbo Tom's been named.
Yeah, I don't know. The Cowboys have won a couple in a row. I'm going the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'll go the Cowboys. I'm nearly tempted to go the Seagulls there, but all right. Sunday.
Let me down last week, the Sea Eagles, so I'm brushing them. Cowboys, $1.65.
They'll be shattered. Sunday, the Broncos will take on the Titans at Daylight Savings Stadium in the Peter Benson Bowl. $1.39, the Broncos. $2.15, the Titans. Money for Jam. Andrew, what do the stats say here, mate?
The Broncos have won 31 of their 39 games against all of the teams from the Gold Coast.
Yeah, wow. The poor cousin that is the Gold Coast.
Might be Garth Brennan's last game. Who are you tipping, mate?
I'm going the Broncos.
Yeah, I'm going the Broncos in a canter. Do you reckon Garth Brooks is on his last legs up there for
me? Yep. That's that good oil. I can't
understand why.
I can't see. Well, I'm not.
Do you want to explain how he actually got that job?
Nope. $2.15 the Titans. They should be $5.15. The Broncos will win that very easily. Panthers take on the Roosters at Pornhub Stadium in the Doug Ricketson.
Roosters.
What did I say?
No, I'm just saying. You don't need even to discuss where this is played or who's doing what. The Roosters will flog the Panthers.
Doug Ricketson Shield, $2.75 the Panthers, $1.44 the Roosters.
Roosters will win.
Andrew, what do the stats say?
The last time the Roosters beat a Penrith side on a Sunday in June was in 1981.
Well, they're going to break that hoodoo this week.
Andrew, surely you couldn't, could you?
I'm going the Roosters here.
Yeah.
I'm going the Panthers. There is no way in the world I'm going the Panthers. The Roosters will put it, I'm going on the record. The Roosters will win by 30.
You know what? You could be right.
No, I will be right.
Yeah. All right.
I'll tip them by 50.
Well, I'll tip them by 70. Yeah, the Roosters will win this, and they should do it fairly comfortably, you'd imagine. Although the Panthers are on two and a trot, very impressive wins too.
Oh, this week, anyone that won this week, they're title specials.
Monday, the Bulldogs, who are still chasing that minor premiership dream, are up against the Dragons.
Dragons will win.
at Shotgun Stadium in the Tony Brenton Bowl. $2.30 the Bulldogs, $1.60 seems like good odds for the Dragons. Andrew, what do the stats say here, mate?
I've got two here. The Dragons have been outscored 26-83 in the second half of their last five games. And under Supercoach McGregor, they've only won 10 of their last 33 games away from home in the second half of the season.
All right, then. So who are you backing?
I'm going to go the Dragons.
Yeah.
I'm going to go the Dragons. The Dragons are not any kind of form team this year.
No, they're not any time good.
But the Bulldogs season... Their season has been diabolical.
Jeez, you went a long distance to get. That was a big run-up.
I'll edit it out. It will sound better.
That was a long run-up, that
one. In the long run, it will sound better.
Yeah, you couldn't back the Bulldogs. They are all sorts of ordinary.
Dean Pay's not even putting his money on the Bulldogs this week.
Andrew, the podcast, what's it called? Where do they find it?
Yeah, it's called Fergo and the Freak. It's on every podcasting thing around the world. It's also on YouTube. So we're going to be doing a bit of an Origin special tomorrow night. So
on YouTube?
You can put them on YouTube now.
Is it a video it YouTube?
The computer does all the work. We don't have to do anything.
Oh, okay. And what about, just quickly, the state of Origin, mate? Who are you tipping?
New South Wales. I'll say 26-12.
Who you got first try scorer?
Tedesco.
Who's your man of the match?
Tedesco.
All right, mate. Good talking to you once again. Don't forget, you can also find Andrew's Patreon. Go through the Rugby League Project website to find that. Mate, thank you very much. Thanks for joining us. That, of course, was Andrew from Rugby League Project. He is the...
He's a stat man.
Roll the sack. Open the sack. Empty the sack. The boy is sad.
The boys sack mail and feedback time, Sid. And, well, we'll start with the West Wales Waders, your team, not mine. How'd they go this week?
They had the bye. We'll deal with them next week. A bye is not a loss.
Now, I was talking to David Reynolds during the week.
Your mate.
He did say, can you please tell all your listeners that are into supercars to listen to his podcast? It's called Under the Hood. It's done with Michael Caruso. If you're into V8 supercars, or probably even if you're not, because as we know, Dave's pretty loose.
Yes.
You can go to iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts, and you can listen to Dave and Michael Caruso talking V8 supercars.
Full credit to the boy's very own.
Yeah. Bathurst winner and good, all-round good bloke.
Yep.
The tipping comp will cover off next week because it was only a half a round. There's not much change.
The last 2 weeks, if you could tip anyone 2 weeks ago, you're an imposter. And this week, only 4 games. I don't think anyone moved up or down.
I did. I got 4 from 4.
Whatever.
Now, the live show.
Yeah, we need to talk about the live show. We can announce now, can we?
Yeah.
Our guest on the day, our biggest guest.
We've
got a few guests.
Yes.
It's going to be exciting, especially for all those people that have listened to this show from the start. There's going to be a few people that we've covered off from the very beginning.
So the live show is on the 23rd of June. It is at Penshurst RSL.
Penshurst RSL, Penshurst Street, Penshurst, near Penshurst Station, opposite Penshurst Pub.
Now, to get there, you must be a member. From there, we will give you instructions about how to buy tickets to the live show.
Hottest tickets in town.
The lineup of guests, well...
Go on, hit me.
I think Late Mailman may be there.
Yes, that's exciting.
I know Dane Eldridge.
Yes.
He's indicated he will be there.
That's going to be fun.
I know Buckets Hemsley is going to try and get there.
He's going to try. He was such a good guest at our last live show that we had to edit the whole podcast and...
decided not to run
and
it.
And then burnt it. I actually smashed my computer and burnt the hard drive.
But our guest for this show, confirmed, locked in, checked with him today to make sure we could publicise it. He said, yes, go ahead. Our guest for the live show on the 23rd of June at Penshurst RSL will be none other than one of our favourites, Mr. Neil Breen from Channel 9.
He has some fantastic stories, a few we've covered off when we've interviewed him.
A lot
but a lot more that we couldn't.
Of course, there are no phones in the venue on the live shows. We will take your phones. you will be given a ticket. It's all safe. It's all hunky-dory. Shifty goes down to Cash Converters. We get a few dollars for him, but yep, other than that, all good. So Neil Breen will be there. He's quite looking forward to it. He's got to host the NRL footy show on Sunday before he gets there. But other than that, he will be there. So I'm very excited about that.
It's going to be great.
And like we said, all-round great bloke. The Origin's on this week. And so before we head off into the sunset, we thought we'd return back to a former's bedtime story. Thanks, of course, to our friends at Picture Magazine. You can find them on Twitter at @picture_mungo. Maybe not an underscore. Might be
the Picture Mungo.
Yeah, check them
Search
out.
Search it.
Of course, everyone knows their work. It's fantastic. Of course, if you are a home bloke and you fancy just sending a picture of your doodle.
We all know you're sending dick pics anyway.
Send it
to the Picture Magazine.
Send it to Picture Magazine so they've got content for their oodles or doodles.
$50 for it instead of an AVO. It's a win-win.
So we thought we'd do this very special former's bedtime
story. State of Origin version.
So until next week, enjoy Origin, and of course, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodnight from him. Go and buy a membership and come to the live show.
See you there.
Ta-da. Gather round, everyone. It's time for former legends.
This story comes from Picture Magazine number 1467, with Nude Sisters, Australia's sexy siblings, on the front. And it's titled, Mad, Bad and Dangerous to Know.
Queensland Origin Edition.
I was stoked when I picked up this chick at a party. She was good looking and had a banging body and was raring to go. So we jump in her car and go to her place, and that's when I first realised she might be a bit mental. She drove like a maniac, screaming foul shit at anyone who honked at her. Not nice. Anyway, we got to her share house and we buzzed past her housemates without even stopping to say hello. We pile into her bedroom where there's a bar fridge and a stereo, and she pours us a schooner of wine each and cranks up some thrash metal.
Alarm bells.
To a deafening level. Then she buries her head in my crotch and gives me the most savage
Les kiss
I've ever had. I'm thinking, this chick's actually going to bite my
Mick Hancock
off when one of her housemates start banging on the door and telling her to turn the music down. She screams at them. Then she tries to jab a finger up my
Sam Bacco.
I jump like a scalded cat and she cackles weirdly and stands up to strip off. Then I see the tattoos, the Grim Reaper, a pile of skulls being gnawed at by rats, a guillotine. Not a dolphin to be seen anywhere. I'm thinking, I'll just give her an
Andrew G.
and leave. So I bar up and bravely start giving it to her, which is bloody difficult because she's shredding my back with her fingernails. I unload, leaving her with
Dan Staines
all over her
Darren Fritz.
Luckily, she gets distracted, yelling at the housemates about how she was going to kill them, so I chuck my clothes on and do the bolt. I hope no one I know tells her my name or where I live. I'm scared of her. But it's still better than staying at home and having my hand covered in a
Carl Webb.
The end.
And that was former legends.
Story time!
Am I going to see some action, baby? Am I going to see some action? Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action? Got places to go and people to see. I gotta know what you're doing with me.